We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
What's going on, everybody? Welcome back to another episode of 30 Minutes of Hell podcast. I am your host, Brandon Baker. I'm joined by Joey Jackson and Matt Jackson. We are brought to you by the Field of 68 Podcast Network. You can find us there on YouTube, and you can find us on Twitter, Apple Podcasts, wherever you get your podcasts under 30 Minutes of Hell podcast. And we've got some Arkansas basketball to talk about. This weekend, Arkansas traveled to North Little Rock, Simmons Bank Arena for a game against Lipscomb. And barely escaped with a 3-point win. It's one of those weird wins where it's really hard to be happy about it at all because Arkansas had a 20-point lead. They were looking really good. Things were going their way. And then they just collapsed for like 10, 12-minute stretch of that game. Gave up a 17-0 run. Things were not clicking on either side of the court. And it was just hard to watch. And so leaving Little Rock, I don't think that many of them were happy. You always take the win at least, but there's a lot to work on, especially after that game. I just kind of want to open up the floor and ask what the heck happened during that run. I mean, I noticed that there was some lack of communication on defense, which is an issue that we've seen repeatedly. There was just missed shots. Not all of them were bad shots, but there was some questionable shot selection. Mm-hmm. There were some turnovers. There was just a lot of weird things happening during that run. It was like the perfect storm that let them just come back all at once in that run that they had in the second half.
Yeah.
So Joey, what are your thoughts? What the heck happened during this run?
Yeah, let me just start reading down my laundry list of things that I'm not happy with. I feel like this is getting to the point where, you know, we're so far into the season, we're knocking on the door of SEC play. I think I said this exact same sentence last week. We have so many things that need to get nailed out. And even in the post-game presser, Musk said that he's not happy with the win. He's disappointed with how he played. Even though we came out with the win, he was disappointed with it. So first thing I'll just kind of touch on is half of our turnovers. We had 14 turnovers in the game. Half of those turnovers were by our two primary ball handlers in Devo and Layden Blocker. I think Devo had 4 and Layden had 3. So a combined 7 turnovers from those two guys who are our point guards is unacceptable in my opinion. I understand that those bad games happen, but we can't be doing that to mid-major teams. You know, what happens when we come into SEC play and we're playing, you know, teams that are expected to be Final Four participants that, you know, lock us down? And what are they going to have 10 turnovers that game between the two of them? We just need to, and I understand Blocker's a freshman. He's very new to the game. Devo should not have any game where he has 4 or more turnovers. You know, he's a senior guy. He's been with the Razorbacks. He's been in the spotlight for, you know, so long. He's just got to be that leader that controls the ball, stays composed whenever things kind of get crazy. But I'm also going to sound like a broken record saying this. Our perimeter defense is horrible, unacceptable from a team that, like the Razorbacks, that is supposed to be this was supposed to be the Razorbacks' year, being a champion of the NCAA tournament. And the way that we're playing right now, we're not seeing that. We're barely seeing a tournament team at this point. I can't deal with the swatting at the ball on the perimeter, like not sliding over and stopping the ball on at our guard level. They're getting blown by our, we touched on this last week, our perimeter or our pick and roll defense is horrid. We don't know if we're switching, if we're hedging. I saw it multiple times in the game where Devo's one of our worst guys. And again, he is one of our leaders that should be disciplined enough to consistently guard that position in the pick and roll. So I saw multiple times where he would hedge really hard left and Lawson would sink back into the paint instead of stepping up and leaving a pop guy wide open on the pick and pop, giving wide open threes, wide open mid-range looks. And these are just things that, again, I'm sounding like a broken record. We're talking about every week that need to get fixed and they're not getting fixed. So personally, I'm getting a little concerned with us getting so close to SEC play and really not that far away from the tournament season.
Yeah, I agree on every single one of those points. Unforced turnovers, getting lost on defense, and all of that. But I think our main problem, and I've said it before in the past, there is not a single player on this team showing that they actually care about the game of basketball. It's like nobody cares. There is zero effort on this team. And I think Mus mentioned that this isn't like any other team he's had. They don't have something. And I feel like it is the effort. There's nobody willing to make those nitty gritty plays, those plays where even though you're up 20, you make because you want to continue growing that lead. You want to get after this team and finish it out. And that's where we got lost. That's where we started letting them go on a run, is nobody was willing to get those stops. Mm-hmm. I looked at the box score, I looked at the stats, and I couldn't just look at the stats and pinpoint, oh, this is where we went wrong. Right here. Even the turnovers weren't outrageous by any means. It was just what stats were getting hidden, what, like the hustle stats, what wasn't going on. And this is a mid-major team. Whether it's a big win or a small win, you're probably going to play a mid-major in the tournament. That's how it happens. So if you can't beat them here,
yep,
then you're not going to stand a chance in the tournament. And there's just no sense of urgency in this team. And it's frustrating to watch. It is. And I compare it to like watching the Lakers when it was the year after the championship. Just nobody wanted to play. Everybody was just slow, sluggish, didn't want to play, didn't want to be there. And at the end of the day, there are thousands of other guys that would die to be in the position all of our guys are in. I just want to see us play like we're one of those guys are one of the thousands, you know. They want to be here. It's Arkansas. It is a great place to play basketball. Why are you not playing it with 100% of your heart? And that's where I'm at a loss. I don't know what went wrong in this game other than the effort.
And, you know, Matt, you kind of touched on Mus talking about how this team's unlike any other team that he's seen before. I've got a couple extra points to add to that. You know, he also said something that we've been preaching for the last 2 weeks, is he's not going to sit back and expect us to, you know, gain the momentum mid-season like we've seen in the past. You know, we've said the exact thing that he said in his press conference this past game. And another thing that he said kind of in regard to the blowing that 20-point lead is he tested something a little different and just let the guys play rather than focusing on clock management. And that brings me to a point that I've just been stewing on with Devo again. I've said it three times in this episode alone. Devo's supposed to be our leader. He's been there before. He should be that guy. He should know better than, with 30 seconds on the clock, a one-point game, driving to the cup for a layup when there's a five-second differential between the shot clock and the game clock. I was completely appalled with his decision-making of driving into a crowded paint. He scored the layup, thank goodness, but I'm A, not confident that he will consistently make a double-teamed layup, and B, giving them 25 seconds to run an entire play to get an open three at the end of the game. Luckily, they missed it, not because of our defense, but because they just missed a wide-open shot. Thank goodness they did, because I don't know if we would have won that game in overtime. But it's just the lack of discipline and awareness in general is very concerning with this team.
Yeah, I agree. I like one thing Matt said, just the sense of urgency. I think that's a big talking point. It's a big factor in every single game. Musselman talked about how even sometimes on like out of bounds plays, guys are just walking out. They're not even matched up when the ref hands the ball to the guy throwing it in bounds. Mm-hmm. Like they're just not ready. There's no sense of alertness or urgency or willingness to be there, wanting to be there. Like Matt's was kind of touching on earlier. It's really weird because it's not a talent issue. I mean, we've seen these guys play so well. They're not acting like there's a sense of desperation right now. And there should be. I mean, they let up a 20-point lead to this team that shouldn't be contending with them. And it's very frustrating. You guys are absolutely right. And I agree completely that Muss even said in his post game about Devo taking that last shot. He's not a shot he really wanted him to take. It's one of those that you say, oh no, oh no, oh no, good shot, Devo. But give them plenty of time when you should have just kind of dribbled that clock out and made your free throws. Because if you remember, after that, Layden Blocker missed the front end of a 1-1 to give them the ball back, only down 3 points. That could have put the game out of reach entirely. It could have been up 5 points. So just the small things like that. And it's just so frustrating to watch because, like we're saying, it's not a talent thing. The Hogs are pretty good at basketball. They just haven't put it together. They haven't had any desperation or urgency or alertness. I like that word that Musselman used. They're just not alert. They don't know what the heck is going on out there. They're not paying attention to where they need to rotate, where they need to be. They're not paying attention when the ball comes in bounds, to plays that are being run. A lot of standing around watching on both sides of the ball. And I don't know what you do about that. I mean, that's just something you shouldn't have to teach at this point.
You can't teach that.
But there were a couple of positive things from this game that I did want to touch on. We got to see Keon Minifield's debut. Got a waiver from the NCAA roughly 24 hours before tip-off. So super short notice. They said, you're good to play. And Must threw him out there in this game. Played 19 minutes. Didn't have like an eye-popping stat line. But I thought that he did bring a lot of energy and I like the word that Musselman uses. He's bouncy and he's just like, he reacts quickly to things. He reacts to loose balls. He got an offensive rebound that led to his only points of the game. Just little things like that, I think, can make a difference for a team like this that doesn't have that effort all the time or the urgency all the time. I don't think that he showed any ability to be like a game changer on the defensive side of the ball, which the Hogs desperately need to improve their defense too. But a lot of the things that Keon does well, I think, will benefit this team. And it was really good to see him come out there and get in this game, get a little action. And I thought it was a little interesting that he essentially took all of Ellis's minutes. Notice Ellis played like less than 2 minutes or something like that. And
I think it was less than a minute.
It might have been. I think you're right. But that'll be interesting to watch moving forward, how that guard minutes rotation kind of splits up if Minifield does actually retain those minutes, or if it will be a game by game basis kind of thing, or how Musselman handles that. But what did you guys like from Keon Minifield in this first game in his debut?
I think that he's going to be one of those guys that he's extremely explosive. He reminds me a lot of Layden Blocker, honestly, the way we've seen Blocker play. Not, like you mentioned, not on the defensive side of the ball, but just that same energy. I think he'll bring a sense of urgency, hopefully kind of kick some of the other guys into gear, knowing that he's taking some minutes. But I kind of agree with you, Brandon. I don't know if he's going to be a huge game changer other than on the offensive side of the ball. I think he has the potential to be a 10 point per game guy just off sheer athleticism and quickness. I think he can get to the cut pretty easily. And once he plays more, I know he's been in the practice rotation and must said that he's been working with those guys a lot on the team. So not necessarily a chemistry issue, but it's so much different whenever you step on the court in an actual game playing with your guys than in a practice atmosphere, obviously. So I think once we see him throughout the year, throughout these next couple of games, kind of get his footing and be more comfortable on the court with the rest of his Razorbacks, I think that he can be a really good addition to this squad on the energy side of things.
Yeah, he's a very fast-paced player. He can get the ball down the floor. He doesn't move the needle very much as far as production goes, but in terms of morale and team chemistry, he seems like a very optimistic guy, and I feel like that may be what we need, just somebody with fresh blood and just ready to get after it, and maybe that will ignite a spark in our guys and get them going. I'm interested to see how this week plays out, this next game, because it was North Little Rock, and that's kind of sketchy anyway. The whole atmosphere in North Little Rock for all sports in Arkansas is weird. So maybe that was the case. But I'm really hoping that we can see him maybe spark our bench or whoever and get us just fired up again. Like I said, there's nobody wanting to play right now. I don't know if they're ready for Christmas or what, but we just need somebody who wants to be there and play. And I think Minifield can really play a role in that.
Yep. I agree completely. I think that he can definitely be one of those energy guys, if nothing else, hustle guy, energy guy. And he did score, I think, 5 times last year. He scored 20 or more points as a true freshman at Washington. So that's also encouraging. Just another guy that is capable of having those offensive explosions like that. I know that the offense has been kind of stagnant at times, and hopefully he's another guy that's willing to really move the ball and be a connector on the offensive side of the ball, even if he's not always scoring a ton. But just having another guy very, very capable on offense, I mean, it can't hurt, you know, yeah, especially the way that this team is struggling. So it was good to see him get back out there. And then one other guy I wanted to touch on a little bit is Jalen Graham. I feel like this is the first time we've really truly gotten to see him healthy this year. And he was out there, took advantage of a good mismatch in the paint against this team. They didn't have a true like stopper in the middle of their zone, a true defensive center. And Graham was really picking him apart while he was in the game. Mm-hmm. I think he was 5 of 6 from the field, had 11 points, only had one turnover the whole game. And he did a lot of good things in the first half. And I was honestly a little bit confused about Musselman not ever inserting him back into the game during that run during the second half. And I understand all of his shortcomings. He's not an elite defender. He needs to be more aggressive rebounding. I get those things. But he was a game changer for a while in the first half on offense. And when you're in the midst of a 17-0 run, I feel like that's the kind of change you can probably make, maybe to spark your guys back and stop that run. So I was a little confused about that decision to keep him out of the game. But Musselman noted post-game that they need him to rebound better, that he only had one rebound in his 15 minutes.
Yeah,
I need to rewatch the game and pay a little closer attention, because I don't know how many offensive rebounds we gave up in that stretch or if it was just other Razorbacks grabbing the rebound. That's something I would have to go back and watch some film on, but I've always been a little skeptical of Graham because of the things Musselman says about his defense and stuff, but he was showing out in this game. This is the kind of matchup where you let him roll the ball out there to him and let him go score. And he was showing it early, and I was just kind of confused that we didn't see more of it later.
And, you know, Brandon, just speculating here, I'm wondering if Mus saw the 17-0 run and was more thinking, we've got to get guys to stop Lipscomb rather than we've got to score. So I'm wondering if he kept Graham out maybe because he was focusing more on the defensive side of not letting them get hot, but you know, neglected putting in the offensive weapon that we saw in the first half. Again, just speculation, but I'm just wondering if it was more defensive focused.
There comes a point in time, though, where you haven't scored in I don't even remember how many minutes. I was listening to it. Now you gotta get some offense. My goodness. We had 2 points in like the first 8 minutes of the second half, it felt like. And we just weren't getting anything. And they were getting everything. Why take him out? Why not put him back in? Why not get somebody who is scoring in the game to create momentum on defense? I think we said in the first episode, I think it was Brandon that said it, when you get going on offense, that promotes the defense. Why are we so focused on, oh, he's not rebounding. He was scoring. He was being productive in other areas. Let him play because these guys aren't. So, I don't know. I'm all for getting a rotation solidified before SEC play, but I'm also all for winning games by like 20 or 30 instead of 5 or 2 or 3, mm-hmm. You know? So at the end of the day, play the guy that's hot, play the guy that's making a difference in the game. Don't play the guy that will get you a rebound, but nothing else. That's my opinion on that one. I was not too happy to see that at the end of the game, that he didn't play a single minute after getting his 11 points. He's 5 for 8 or 5 for 6. I mean, very efficient too.
Yeah, it was a little confusing. And Musselman said after the game that he feels a little bit more, I don't know if confidence is the right word, but maybe he has a better grasp on who he wants in this core rotation directly after this game. He talked about that. So I'm very interested to see in the next game coming up who that involves. You know, what that entails, what that looks like. Because in this game, he played 13 players. Bay Fall was the only player on the roster that wasn't a walk-on that didn't see the court. And so, I mean, clearly he's still trying stuff out to see who's going to play hard and who's going to give him what, still searching for answers. So that's something that I'm definitely looking for in the next game, is kind of how this rotation is starting to shape up, because we're getting pretty late into the season, like we're talking about. But speaking of the next game, the Hogs go back to Fayetteville, go back to Bud Walton Arena for a matchup with Abilene Christian. And we will be right back with a preview of this upcoming game right after a quick break.
We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences, so the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/BlueWire. Just go to Indeed.com/BlueWire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/BlueWire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
All right, Arkansas goes back to Fayetteville, back to Bud Walton Arena for a matchup with Abilene Christian this coming Thursday. ACU is currently ranked number 232 in the net rankings. How much stock you want to put into that right now, whatever. But that's currently, I believe it's the third worst team that Arkansas has played, just according to the net rankings. So this is a great opportunity, I feel like, for them to kind of maybe get a little more of that rotation solidified. And it also is very much as close to a must-win game as you can possibly get in December. You can't drop a game against this team ranking almost 250th in the country. So right off the bat, got to be energized, got to be ready to play, because time after time, including against Lipscomb, we're seeing these guys have close games, close calls against these teams they should be beating the heck out of. So right off the bat, want to start with that. Abilene Christian is currently 5-6 on the season. They opened their season with a road victory over Oklahoma State, a Power 5 team. They currently rank right around 200th in both offensive and defensive efficiency on KenPom. So again, not the best team we're going to see. They do have a couple of guys scoring 13 points a game. One of them, actually, Arian Simmons, is actually a Little Rock native, played for Parkview Magnet High School before he joined Abilene Christian back in 2019-2020. And if you're doing your math right, I believe this is his fifth year senior. So a very experienced guy. I've been with the program a long time, and he's a 6'5" forward that weighs almost 265 pounds. So a strong dude, going to be a potential mismatch for our forwards. I don't know if that's going to look like Tremont Mark, Jeremiah Davenport, Trevin Brazil. None of those guys are super bulky, but I don't know if you're going to put someone like Chandler Lawson on a 6'5" guy. So I'm curious to see how Musselman deals with that in terms of matchup wise, because it could be an interesting mismatch opportunity for Abilene Christian. Could also be a mismatch on the other side of the ball if he's not quick enough to keep up with our guards on the court. So definitely something to watch there. And something I found kind of interesting about this team, they shoot a ton of free throws and they foul a lot. And if that sounds familiar, it's because it is. They are just like Arkansas in both of those categories. Arkansas currently ranks 13th nationally in free throw attempts per game. Abilene Christian ranks 10th, both shooting over 26 and a half free throw attempts per game. And then in terms of fouls committed per game, Arkansas ranks 330th in fouls committed with over 20 a game. And Abilene Christian ranks 339th with almost 21 fouls committed per game. So very, very similar in those aspects. And if you love watching referees blow the whistle and free throws being shot, this is the game for you.
So that's right.
Arkansas's got to be very good. I think, and that's, you know, I say that jokingly, but they only shot, what was it, like 7 free throw attempts in their last game total? Eight free throw attempts against Lipscomb. So that's very not common for a Musselman-led team, and especially not this team that's almost top 10 nationally. So I think that they've got to be really disciplined in attacking the rim, attacking this defense, getting back to the free throw line. And a lot of that in the last game I thought had to do with Caleb Battle not getting a ton of minutes.
Yeah.
Another one of those matchup things. Musselman saw something else that he liked on the court. Caleb wasn't out there a ton, but he is fantastic at drawing free throws when he's on the court. So I'm curious to see if maybe he has a bounce back game in this one. Maybe we see him get like 12 free throw attempts by himself or something like that. So what are you guys looking for in this game from Arkansas? I mean, we're talking about, it's about as close to a must win as you can get. The effort needs to be better. Maybe being aggressive. What are you looking for specifically in this game, Joey? I'll start with you.
I'm looking specifically at the matchups and this solidified rotation that we're hoping to see. You mentioned Simmons from Little Rock. I think that's going to be an interesting matchup. Like you said, they don't really have any standout rebounders, but Simmons is their leader. I think he's averaging around 5.7 rebounds a game, so nearly 6 rebounds a game. But a couple guys that I'm also interested to see matched up with are 6'8 senior Cameron Steele. He's one of Abilene Christian's top shooters from deep. He averages 42% from long range. And at 6'8", that'll be kind of interesting to see how he stretches the floor for that team. Interesting to see who we play on him. You know, you wonder if that's more of a Brazil matchup to where we can step out and defend that. They also have kind of a fringe starter guy, Kavion McLean. He's their point guard. I want to say starting point guard, but he's really only started, I think, 5 or 6 games out of their 11. So I'm interested to see, A, if he's going to start, if maybe Devo will get a look at him being their primary playmaker. But he's had 4 games with 5 or more assists, so he's definitely a pass-first guy. So, again, broken record here. I want to see our perimeter defense step up and get good looks at a couple of these guys, especially with them having, you know, 2 shooters that shoot over 40% from deep.
And Brandon, going back to you, yeah, this is a must-win game. It is well past a must-win game. We can't be scraping by these guys anymore. We need to be blowing them out and getting ourselves out of this hole that we have dug ourselves in. And it's a big-time win because if we win these, what, we have two more non-conference games left? Pretty sure. So you win these next two by a lot, get a lot of momentum going into SEC play. You make those next games a little bit easier because now you're like, oh yeah, I've been on fire recently. Let's get after it. And we have a lot of Q1 wins, win possibility coming up, and we need a fire under us. I just want to see us win and win by a lot and just play with some urgency, play hard. That's all I want to see. That will make me a happy camper.
We definitely need a 20 plus win on this game. I feel like we haven't seen a blowout win from Arkansas all season, really.
Yeah. Yeah. And one more player I wanted to point out, he doesn't really stand out if you're just looking at the raw stats on the season for Abilene Christian. They have a 6'8 forward named Leonardo, probably going to butcher this, Betiol. And he's a sophomore, like I said, 6'8, and he's only averaging 6.3 points on the season, but he's played two games where he was injured and then coming back from injury. And in those two games, he combined for only four total minutes. And so if you look at his last four games since he came back from injury, he's averaging over 10 points a game, over four rebounds per game, shooting 77% from the field. He has not shot a three-pointer yet this season. So that's something I'm wondering if maybe we see a lot of Chandler Lawson on this matchup. A lot of Mekhi Mitchell, maybe, because he's more of a true center, doesn't really stretch the court much, but definitely a guy that you need to be aware of that might fly under the radar if you're just looking at the per game stats on the season for this mm-hmm. team. So just wanted to throw his name out there as well. But yeah, that's all I have on this game. Like Matt said, it's a must win at this point. I mean, you're 7-4. It's a very lowly ranked team. Dropping this becomes almost insurmountable. They're already looking at a heck of a run to get where they want to be, even making the tournament at this point. Dropping a game like this makes it almost impossible to where you have to like go, what, like 14-4 or something in SEC play, something crazy like that. But speaking of the NCAA tournament, I have one more question to ask you guys that we'll have a little discussion right after one more quick break.
The headlines remind us daily, the world is a dangerous place. The elites in charge say everything's fine, stop noticing, but you know better. And your gut knows that time is short to prepare for a world that is four missed meals away from chaos. My Patriot Supply has helped over 3 million families become more self-reliant and is the company Americans trust to prepare. Go to MyPatriotSupply.com and secure their best-selling 3-month emergency food kits. Each contain delicious breakfasts, lunches, and dinners, averaging over 2,000 calories per day. Secure at least one food kit for each family member. For a limited time, save $200, plus get free shipping on all their Ready Hour 3-month emergency food kits. You're not ready if it's not Ready Hour foods. My Patriot Supply also has solar power generators, water filtration units, biomass stoves, heirloom seeds, and critical survival gear. Shop MyPatriotSupply.com today. MyPatriotSupply.com.
This is the story of the one. As a maintenance engineer, he hears things differently. To the untrained ear, everything on his shop floor might sound fine, but he can hear gears grinding or a belt slipping. So he steps in to fix the problem at hand before it gets out of hand. And he knows Granger's got the right product he needs to get the job done, which is music to his ears. Call, click Granger.com, or just stop by. Granger, for the ones who get it done.
All right. Last question for you guys before we get off of here today. Do the Hogs make the NCAA tournament this year?
Go ahead, Matt.
No, I don't think so. And I'm the most optimistic of this group too. I can't see it happening. I, like I said, have seen no urgency, no effort, no leader. And that's all you need to make some type of run in the tournament. That's how mid-majors do it. And we're a major team and we're not doing it right now. We're not beating these mid-majors by a good amount. So I couldn't, if I was on the committee selecting these teams, I couldn't imagine choosing Arkansas over some of them right now. And I hope they prove me wrong and make me eat my socks, please. But right now, no.
I'm going to say they make the tournament. I do have faith in this team, regardless of me just taking a total dump on them all episode. I think that they can pull it together. They can pull it together. Will they? That's probably a discussion for a different day. They have all the talent, all the potential in the world to make a run in the tournament. I know that we don't like to use the argument of we've seen it in the past, but we know that Muss is a solid coach. We know that he's good at making adjustments. I have faith in Eric Musselman. I do think that we can right this ship, fingers crossed. But I'm going to say, yeah, we make the tournament.
I go back and forth on it a lot. Right now, I think I want to agree with Joey that they do sneak into the tournament. At this point, a lot of my hopes for the season have already, you know, taken a big hit. I really thought this team was going to be a lot different, mm-hmm. avoid the early season struggles, avoid the issues we've seen with previous teams. And I guess to be fair, they have avoided issues we've seen with previous teams. They've come up with a bunch of new issues all on their own. Right. But I think that it is a long season, and just how many opportunities they have against really good teams, it just takes a few. They just got to get it together long enough to win a few of these big games, big SEC games. I've been talking about, I think, 5 of their first 8 SEC games are quadrant 1 games, and the other 3 are quadrant 2 games. So if you start strong in that stretch, then it's not a guarantee that they do, but they have the opportunity to. Mm-hmm. If you start strong in that stretch, you climb out of this hole quite a bit. It's definitely work to be done. They've got a lot of things that they need to figure out internally, but there's so much time left, so many big games left. For now, I think that Musselman has earned at least a little bit of trust that he can turn it around. Yeah. Not a guarantee that he will because of previous years, like we're talking about.
Exactly.
But I'm thinking for now, I'm still giving them the benefit of the doubt, but it sucks that at this point in the season, this is the question we're talking about. I wanted to be asking, will Arkansas be a top 3 seed? Not, yeah, will they be a top 11 seed? So right. It's frustrating, but for now I'm going to say that they still make it. Even if it is as a 10 seed or whatever, maybe they can win a couple games, redeem themselves. But
if they do, I'll eat my socks on a silver platter. I'll do it. Yeah. I just want them to be
live
good,
right here on this podcast.
Yes, right here in the season.
I'll come out with a suit, tie, and silver platter with Matt Sock right on it. And I hope it's a good thing. I want it to happen. My goodness.
Yeah. All right. Well, that'll do it for us today. That'll do it for episode 7. Hopefully we see a little bit better effort out of the Hogs in their next couple games. Like Matt said, 2 more games before SEC play starts. We're excited to get to it. Still a lot of ball to be played, but we appreciate you joining us and listening to us talk about some Razorback basketball. Again, we're brought to you by the Field of 68 Podcast Network. You can find us there on YouTube. You can find us on Twitter, wherever you get your podcasts, under 30 Minutes of Hell Podcast. I have been your host, Brandon Baker, here with Joey Jackson and Matt Jackson. And we will talk to you guys next time. Woo big.
Thanks, y'all.
Big.
Everyone is talking about magnesium. It's all you hear about. But why? What do we know about magnesium? Well, magnesium is the number one mineral that 75% of Americans are deficient in. If you are a woman over 35, magnesium will help you rediscover balance, energy, and vitality. Magnesium supports more than 300 enzymatic reactions in your body, including those involved in hormonal balance. From functional medicine doctors to mental well-being and female hormone experts, we all know that magnesium is the one mineral to improve all aspects of well-being and health. But which one? Magnesium Breakthrough from Bioptimizers. The trusted choice recommended by leading experts with 7 best-absorbed forms of magnesium to ensure your body receives the support it needs for overall well-being. Go to bioptimizers.com/balance today and use code BALANCE10 for 10% off. Support your journey to wellness at bioptimizers.com/balance. Magnesium Breakthrough from Bioptimizers, your foundation to optimal health and vitality.